Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God is good, and His ways are perfect, and His love is undeniable. He's always for us. He's always doing what it takes to help us out. He set us up in every way to win. Jesus Christ, He obeyed the Father, became a man, taught us. He lived the life before us and taught us. Raised up disciples to take His place so that when He died for us, we would know what to do. So, the Lord gave us victory. He cut a covenant with Father Abraham. He never gave up on His promise to Adam, talking about the seed of woman. He kept covenant through Noah. You know, man messed up, but God found grace in the eyes of Noah. Then He raised up Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 patriarchs, Joseph, to bring them into Egypt so they could learn the wisdom and be protected by Egypt. They rescued Egypt, and Egypt rescued them. There was a lot of wars. The enemy would have definitely sent a war against the people of God. But they grew, and they went in 70 and came out, 3 to 5 million? See, wars would have happened, and they would have been consumed. So they were. I don't know all the reasons why God let them live in Egypt. But the wisdom of God, He thought of everything. And He's dealing with rebellious men. Rebellious-minded men. Even the good men, their thoughts were shaped and their opinions were shaped by worldly events, even though they had a heart for God. And God had to keep the redemption plan a secret. It was given in parables and secrets, and here a little over here and here a little over there. The prophets didn't know how to plug it all together. I can show you scripture to prove it. The enemy didn't know how it was all going to work. You know, he was in the dark about it. It's the brilliance of God. God kept covenant. One scripture said that if the princes of this world knew, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. Because when they crucified Jesus, He raised from the dead. And He gave gifts to men. He equipped the first apostles. And He gave us apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers in every generation since that time to do the will of God. So the thing is this, when people follow through with God's word, they leave a legacy. And you have to follow through. Just because you've been called to the ministry, even an apostle or a prophet even, if you don't follow through with it, you can't leave the legacy unless you follow through. So the Lord kept covenant all this time. Then He gave us His written word, primarily by the apostles, the prophets, and Moses, and others. It's a blessing. Job wrote a book. Enoch wrote a book, and now we have access to it. See, the life of God is the life of God, and when we receive it, we have it, and then we can leave a legacy. That's what the devil's afraid of. I love it, but you have to have circumcision of the heart to do this. You have to have a real relationship with the Lord. You know, the enemy likes to give us a religious counter, and that's what we're going to talk about today. The Lord gave that to me last night. And yesterday's broadcast was Tuesday, April the 19th, 2022. And it was, the Lord named it time. Timing. He named it timing. time reveals what's in the heart. And there's a timing for God's judgment to fall. There's timing involved. And I'm going to give that scripture. And the reason he called it timing, well, it made more sense to me when I saw the scripture, so it'll make more sense to you. But let's look at Romans chapter 2 again. Now look at what Paul is saying. He's talking about being able to judge light from darkness. You know, we understand the Lord by his creation and his and the order of creation. And Romans chapter 2 explains it. Romans chapter 1 points to it. And Romans chapter 2 explains it. Now, chapter 2 is actually a continuation of 1 because you see the word therefore is continuing something. You know, so if you go back to chapter 1, let's see what the last verse is in chapter 1. He said, verse 32, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Then he said, starts from chapter 2, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, and thou condemn thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. Now let's go back a little deeper in chapter 1. Okay. I highlighted the rebuke and the hard facts in purple. Let's see. Verse 28. Now he's talking about the first generation. Verse 28 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. All right, they can't come to God, so they harden their heart, so God had to do something with them. He can't let them into his kingdom. So he gave them over to a reprobate mind. When God does that, it's justice. Okay. All right, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. This is unrighteousness. This is what separates man from God. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Now they know better, but they're doing worse. And remember, the judgment of God falls on those that hold the truth and unrighteousness. Okay, who knowing the judgment of God, they know God ain't like this, that who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for when thou judgest another, thou condemn thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. Isn't that curious? Well, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. So God is right to give them over to a reprobate mind. Then he said in verse 3, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doeth the same, that thou shalt not escape the judgment of God? Okay, now, very curious. So let's clear it up, and then we'll come back to verse 4. Let's go to Luke chapter 15. See, there's always a religious counter. Okay, Luke 15:1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. These are the people that's known to do dark stuff. But they see the light and they come to hear Jesus. Now watch this. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eateth with them. Then and Jesus understand. See, Jesus is guided by the Holy Spirit. See, you're going to always find Jesus being covenant appropriate. He's always guided by the Holy Spirit. He's always doing the will of his Father. So he's that's why he's always covenant appropriate. So you look, you see what's happening in verse 1. They drew near to, unto him. Then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. They know they messed up. They know they wrong. But they see something in Jesus. They hear something in his voice. And they came to hear him. All right. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receives sinners and eateth with them. So then nobody told Jesus, he on top of things because he has a relationship with the Father. You know, some preachers, they would have preached on tithes right about now. Or they would have preached on something else. Now, tithes ain't wrong. I'm just saying. You can preach something good and be out of step. But Jesus never was out of step. He was always covenant appropriate. And I have heard messages on tithes when, I've seen the woman finally got a husband to come to church after all this time. And then the preacher teach on tithes. You think he's coming back? But when you're covenant appropriate, that's what I'm talking about. Jesus was covenant appropriate. Sinners came to hear and Pharisees upset. And the scribes. People who write the Bible, they upset. So Jesus said, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doeth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it. And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, isn't that a clear picture? Okay, Paul's right there. We're coming back to Luke 15. And let's look at Romans chapter 2 again. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemn thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. But when sinners come to repent, you know, the Pharisee mind gets upset. Not because they came as much as they hated Jesus. So you got to watch the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of here. If there's leaven in you, it's going to affect the way you fight. It's going to affect the way you love. It's going to affect your motives. Then it says this, and thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such thing and do the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Oh, no. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Okay, let's go back to Luke 15 again. Luke 15, I love it. God, see, Jesus is covenant appropriate. You know, when the Lord opened my eyes to things, I saw things I normally couldn't see on my own. And that's why I mentioned that about the, not being covenant appropriate. Some people are, they're going to do it that way. They're going to stick to notes and not budge. They're not going to flow in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so Jesus continued the parables. He said, verse 7, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Then he said, either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doeth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, I have found the piece that was lost. Verse 10, likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repented. Now, see, this is true. This has always been true. Heaven has always rejoiced when a man breaks through, repent. He comes to the end of himself in the light of God's word. And he loves God now. So that here we go. There's two parables that Jesus did to show the sinners that they're welcome. And the Pharisees, he exposed their judgment against the sinners and against Jesus. Okay. Here goes the third parable, verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living, both of them. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. He's a wealthy man now. He's in the prime of his life, and he goes to a far country. Okay? And continue. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. Now, that's an old way of saying he began to have lack in his life. Verse 15. And when he had joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. That's bad. Think about the Jewish mind here. Eating what the pigs left over. Or desiring to eat what the pigs left over. He's in the ditch now. Verse 17, or the mud. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. Now he's coming to his senses. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Right? When a man comes to that point, now he acknowledges, I sinned, I did wrong, and it didn't help me. People warned me about this, but now I see why. I thought they were just trying to not take my fun away. But now I see what they were talking about. I know that why this ditch is here. Why I'm living in a ditch. And he said, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. Now this is what he planned to say to his dad when he saw him. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off. Now, that means his father was looking for him, praying for him, longing for him, desiring him to come back. And that means every day he was on the watch. That's how our Father is. That's how the Holy Spirit is. That's how the angels that never fail are. See, the kingdom of heaven is like God. They're godly. They share his love. And those that are leaven, they share Satan's leaven. And they lack God's love. They are enemies against the love of God. Not only is the Father in Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the angels, but people that love God are just like the Father. They are parents looking for their children to come back home. They want to stray. So the Father when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring here the fatted calf. Kill it, let us eat and be merry. But this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. When you drive in your car and you see people, you know, I've never seen as many homeless people now. You see people on the side of the road with their bag. And you see people panhandling more than ever. Now, some people do that for a living. They live better than others, but there are people who are really hurting now. And these people, God love. They did, I don't know, some may want repentance, some may not. Some may be hard, I don't know. And, you know, in this busy world, I'm always, if I'm driving somewhere, I'm probably in a hurry to get there and back. And I don't always have the time to stop and do what I want to do. But I said, Lord, the time is short. Jesus is about to return. I said, I don't know how to do this. I could try stuff, but that don't mean it'll work. I asked the Lord to help me be covenant appropriate. Because there are people, you know, when I take time, when Monday comes, I'm in motion all the way to Friday night. That's just how busy I can be. And I have a lot of chores. Some go undone. Sometimes I don't even get to cut my own grass. But I like to cut my own. I don't have servants. I like cutting. I like to do it myself. But nevertheless, I like to, I want to be covenant appropriate. I said, anytime that there's somebody that you need me to talk to, that will hear me, some people won't hear you. You got to understand that too. The Lord knows. Now, I like to keep extra cash in case somebody needs it, you know. Sometimes I have it, sometimes it gets gone, you know. But anyway, covenant appropriate. Jesus says, silver and gold have I none, but that which I have, that will I give. And as a child of God, we have the treasure of God. Jesus showed us this so that we can be, so that we can live a circumcised life of the heart. We can have the compassion of God towards men. We can share the covenant love of God, the agape love of Jesus with everybody. We owe him that. So God loved us. So I want the love to be transferred. It's not about, and it's never about looking good before people. It's about helping my brother live. Now, when I know pastors and preachers that love God, that are trustworthy, God give them revelation, they love God, they have sincerity. If God shares something with me, I have a strong desire to give them whatever God gave me. And I found out you can't always do that, because sometimes people receive, sometimes they don't, sometimes they can't. But when it's appropriate, I ask the Lord to help me share whatever will help. And I know sometimes men, they get in pride. They still have traces of pride, and it offends them. And God know the difference. And the only reason I brought that up is because sometimes I tend to say things and God will take it from me. And because he don't like pride. And I don't have enough sense to know the difference of myself. But God does. I count on him to help me with that. You know, And when you think about the alternative, I could just try stuff. I could see somebody sitting down on the park bench and go talk to them. But when God tells me to do it, I know it's going to work. And I listen to that still small voice. Remember, I'm already in a hurry. He didn't send me out here to these people. But I make myself covenant available. And I ask, I say, I continually confess that I will be covenant appropriate. And it works. Now, God deals with the humble heart. And he told Isaiah to seal his law among his disciples. And God, that's how God, I found him to operate that way. So, the desire to see people come forward in the things of God, if we keep this in our mind, the way we govern ourselves, the way we give advice, the way we treat others, will all be covenantly charged. You can't go out there and always win the loss, no matter how terrible that situation is. Some people are hardened, just like the Pharisees. Some sinners are hardened like the Pharisees. But God knows every individual, and he knows what they ever see. So I just kind of yield to the Holy Spirit. If there's nothing, then I do what I can. Or I do nothing. But if there's a prompting, then I can obey him. And that's the purpose of these scriptures here. Because the counter against religion is to be like the Pharisees. Satan say, okay, you want to be religious? Okay, be religious. But be like the Pharisees. They don't care about nobody. They're religious. They got a concern for God, but not according to knowledge. And that's no threat to Satan. But when you have a heart to love others, now you're a threat. Because you can take people out of the kingdom of darkness. And that's precisely what I'm trying to do. And what I am doing. Because if you bear light, that's what's going to happen. He said, the Father speaking, the last thing he said, verse 24, for my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Wow. That's the heart of God right there. Just imagine for a moment how the Pharisees felt. Then he said this. Now his elder son was in the field, the one that's supposed to know better. And as he came and drew near to the house and heard music and dancing, and he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. What's going on? And the servant said to him, and he said to him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Now watch this. That brother, you know the cartoons, you know, the angry cat, the steam come out of his ears. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. See, the father's looking at that child too. The father's on top of things. Just like Jesus. Just like the father. And he answered and said to his father, lo, look, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which has devoured thy resources, thy living with harlots, and thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he's upset. And you know what? He added the harlots. The other one said riotous living, which is probably the same thing. Nevertheless, verse 31. And he said, this is the father speaking. And he said to him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet or fit that we should make merry. We should make merry. His kin people should make merry. And be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. That's something to rejoice over. Did you know, I learned this from Mary in Sunday school. Mary Johnson, she said that when the Jewish boy, when the child of Jewish parents, when they get a certain age, even though they're biologically the father's child, their heart is evaluated to see if they really are linked to the father. You know, they are raised up, but they got to have a good and honest heart to be considered the son. I don't know all about Jewish custom, but I know it makes sense. You can have children that rise up and become an enemy, just like Absalom and Ben, you know, David's two sons that tried to usurp the kingdom. And then you can have a son like Solomon or Nathan that really loved the king, that really loved the father. Okay. So these three parables Jesus gave, and it sheds a whole lot of light on Romans chapter 2. Now let's go back to Romans 2 again. Let's see. God loves us, and we need to share his heart. He said, verse 4 again, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" Now, when I see God being good to people that did worse than me, I know it's going to be good for those that never left the kingdom of God. Because God is good, folks. And I'm glad that they're going to... I've seen people falling in hell. I've seen this. I don't like it. I want to do something. But of myself, I can't. I can, if I yield to the Lord, I can. I can become covenant appropriate in any situation. Verse 5. "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up to thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteousness of God." Now this is following.